Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about a touch of football can get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three. Oh!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. It's the home of your 2012 Super Bowl Ravens. It's almost training camp time. We are getting down to the nitty gritty. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Finally, Brandon. Finally. We're getting closer. Finally.
You know, it's been crazy the last couple months because you and I, we've been kind of deciding, you know, do we do a show? Do we not do a show? Right. Is this noteworthy? Is it not? But we are a mere week away from training camp starting. We were just talking before the show, 22 days until the first preseason game. So we are getting close to NFL football. But let's start the show off before we get to the good stuff. Let's talk about an incident that happened over the weekend involving Jimmy Smith. Now, he was arrested at the Green Turtle in Towson. It was at 9 o'clock at night. Let's talk about the incident first, about how it went down. Of course, he was arrested. The police say he was kind of disturbing the peace and wouldn't let them do their job. But supposedly he would listen to the police once he was in custody and was cordial with them and everything. It's kind of it kind of sucks that this is once again happening in the Ravens locker room with these guys. This is the fifth arrest this offseason. What's your take on this whole incident?
Yeah, Brandon, it is unfortunate. I mean, I've been hearing a lot of hoopla this week about everything. Everybody's got their opinion, their two cents. It's, you know, we're kings of the media now, social media. I mean, everybody's got a Twitter handle or a Facebook. We're experts, right? I mean, what do we know? It's unfortunate. It sucks. I'm going to be pretty vocal about it. I mean, I was pretty passionate this week. You know, I had to tell a little bit of my friends that I needed to calm down because I was a little bit heated because it's just everybody was really getting under my skin about it. I mean, here it is. I mean, the NFL has had 14 arrests this offseason. Five of them are Ravens, so it's a third, or roughly around a third, a little bit more. So it's just – you don't want it to see it to happen to players. John Harbaugh's already addressed the team that, you know, you got to focus, you got to conduct yourselves in a good manner, and then they had that meeting about – conduct and character, and then it's nonsense. It's got to stop. There comes a time where here it is. You're professionals. You have to work on your craft, but then you're also human beings. There's the other side to it. Are these guys meant to stay home? I don't think so. I mean, you can't just sit home and twiddle your thumbs at home and go, okay, well, I need to stay home and become a Raven until I retire. Then once I'm done playing football, I can come in. No, it's these guys need to go to movies. They need to eat. They need to be us. They're normal. They're going to, you know, that's my take on it. I mean, things are going to happen, but then there's choices on the other side. You have to make, you know, right choices. You have to make sure that you're not surrounding yourself with the wrong people and just basically watch your backs. And it ain't no different, Brandon, than you and me, dude. If you and me went out, you know, and we had, you know, a few too many or whatever happens and some fights ensued, I mean, the same thing could happen to us, but here's the problem. If your name's in the media, no one, I mean, sorry, bud, but no one's going to really make a big deal, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, your friends and, you know, close, you know, family and friends might, but, you know, the fact is it's Jimmy Smith or, you know, whoever, it could be Tom Brady, whoever is out there, it's, oh my gosh. And then as soon as you hear Ravens player arrested and Jimmy Smith, and you hear the word arrested, already it's negative because it is negative, it's bad. My take on it is he should have listened. I'm happy to hear they cooperated. But my thing is, as the story leaks more and more, it seems like it gets worse. Because, okay, here's what I gather. When I first heard it, Jimmy Smith arrested, that's all I heard. I'm like, oh, great. Then I read the article, and like you reported, you know, he was trying to help an intoxicated woman. He got a little too overambitious, I guess, like guys do. Guys want to help. They want to swoop in and help. Oh, I'm good. I got this. And for whatever reason, he wanted to play hero instead of letting the cops do their job. I don't know what went down. Here's the thing. We all weren't there, so what do we really know? I mean, I know some employees that work at that establishment. I could always get their account, but I don't know, due to privacy laws, I don't know if they're allowed to say anything. But really, I can go to them and say, hey, what really happened that night? Were you working that night? Because it was Saturday night. I'm sure I knew the few select people that were working, and I know a lot of people that do go there. I was at that establishment 2 weeks ago. Put it this way. It gets worse because then the woman's found to have cocaine on her. Then you start to wonder, well, maybe wonder why Jimmy Smith was acting a little, oh, no, I got it, because maybe he didn't want anybody to find out what really what happened. Or
because did he know? He knew her, right? She was a friend or a coworker with him.
See, Brandon, I don't know. Some reports I hear saying he knew her, and some reports saying like it was just some random person. I don't know. The media only spins negativity, usually. I hate to say it. I mean, we're part of it. We're part of the media, but most media spins, they throw the negative news first, and they're going to throw the bad news out there and go, okay, well, she was this, and she was, I mean, she was screaming, you know, I'm not a whore, I'm not a whore. Well, we don't know. I mean, she could have been drunk and intoxicated. Who knows what went down? And then when you find cocaine on her and you hear those words uttered, and then you hear football player connection bar Saturday night, everything just spins out of control, and you're like, well, that doesn't sound good. And you're right, nothing if it sounds good, but number one, you know, he's not going to be league mandated. He's not going to get in trouble. Two, it's going to be a misdemeanor charge. It's going to get dismissed. It's just a slap on the wrist. It looks bad, and you don't want anything bad to happen to these players, but that's my take on it. I mean, we weren't there, but here's the problem, Brandon. I'm not going to put my past out there, but I've had brushes with the law personally, and I can see the other side of that coin, if you so to speak, because I've been there, and I know you have to keep your nose clean. Like I was sharing with some people this week, it's not I'm not a status of a football player, but me, I have to keep my nose clean. Because put it this way, Brandon, I'll spin it to you like this. It'd be no different, Brandon, than me and you go out and have a good time, and because I have a little bit of a background and someone tried to exploit that. I mean, granted, I'm not a status of a football player, but the problem is if you don't keep your nose clean and don't have your association clean with yourself, they can exploit you, and that's what it comes down to. You know, you don't want to exploit yourself in a bad situation, and whether the cop knew him or not, you never want to play that I'm a Raven card. I think it was kind of cheap. I mean, who wouldn't use the status? but again, it is what it is, Brandon. You just got to hope that, you know, for the rest of the team's sake, everybody stays safe and learns from this and goes, hey, you know, my whole thing is just thank God our quarterback isn't doing this. I mean, yeah, he's got a wife and two kids, but just thank God hopefully the buck stops at Jimmy Smith and that's it.
Yeah, this has been a very interesting offseason with this many arrests from the Ravens. At least with Jimmy Smith, like we said, it's not going to be as big a deal as the Ray Rice situation that it was. I mean, it seems as if the media and everything's kind of backing off now since it wasn't that big of a deal. I'm interested to see whether or not he knew her or not, because it could have been like he was stopping them from going into the bathroom because like maybe she had the cocaine on her, but you know, she was going to say it was his or something like that. So, like you said, we really don't know what really happened there. We don't know the story. It's not going to be a big deal for him. But it sucks, no matter what, that there's been five arrests this offseason. Whether they are misdemeanors like this, or if they're more like the Ray Rice situation, they're embarrassing for the player themselves. It's embarrassing for the organization, because Baltimore already kind of has that reputation of being, you know, like a group of thugs. So, I mean, this kind of stuff doesn't really help that. But really, these are all personal issues. They're only being brought up because they are Ravens. And, of course, Jimmy Smith did play that I'm a Raven card, which that's really crappy that he did that. But
very.
Yeah, but we really don't know what will happen. I don't really think, like you said, the NFL is not going to do anything. I don't know whether or not John Harbaugh is going to do anything like that.
No, I don't think so, dude. I mean, I think what they're going to do is just really have another team meeting probably before the season starts. I can foresee that happening. Just him reiterating, like, hey, guys, you know, you might have some goof-ups, but we need to get this in check. I mean, you need to hold play like a Raven stuff. And that's what's even on the season tickets. This year it's printed play like a Raven, and then you see this behavior. And here's what it comes down to, Brandon. This might have a whole new level on fan credo. I was just talking to a coworker of mine about this the other night, because she asked my take on the Jimmy Smith, too. And I said, well, it's not only players, but here's the thing, fans. You know, the whole, they always have that whole don't be a jerk in the stands during a game, right? Like right in the beginning. My whole thing is, you know, you represent the Ravens, you represent Baltimore, you represent Ravens Nation. So it's the same thing with fans acting like idiots. I know we all have the drunk a-holes in the stands and we all want to talk and toot our horns and stuff about pride or against our teams and stuff. But what it comes down to, it's, you know, like, I hate the whole reputation. Like, you know how, like, they always say Philly fans are the most raunchy, and I hate Boston fans. I hate New York fans. It's, you don't want to be associated with that's the same thing. So you can always go from player conduct to fan conduct in the same respect and go, not only the legal side, but it's just in just character in general. And you just got to watch yourself. Because me, I don't want to be associated with, like, when I go to opposing stadiums, you know, I want to be able to say I'm a nice fan and, you know, barring Pittsburgh, obviously, excluding Pittsburgh, obviously, our big rival. But, you know, obviously we respect that because it is a nice rivalry. But, you know, in the same respects, it's, you want to handle yourself that way. You want to be that guy and go, okay, well, you give Ravens a bad name. That's what the players are doing. When the players do that, they uphold that standard. They put on the purple and black, so they're looking at, oh, well, the Ravens are a bunch of, you know, troublemakers. And then when fans act up, it's the same way. So it's just, it's a big... That's where it just leads to that discussion, you know, and it gets you really thinking about it. Not only players, but fans, and that's what it really comes down to. Just guys, carry yourself well.
Everyone is allowed to mess up every once in a while. I mean, those things do happen, whether they be with the law or in personal lives or whatever. And I think the biggest thing is how you handle yourself after you screw up, that you do change and that you do, you know, act accordingly as if you had learned something from this situation. I mean, look at the way that you know, Ray Lewis handled himself after his whole situation happened so many years ago. I mean, he is somebody that the media and the NFL really didn't want in the spotlight after his whole situation happened back in the day. But now, so many years later, because of the way that he was able to handle himself after that situation, I mean, he's looked at as a role model and as somebody who can really change things around. So I think that's going to be the big test for all of these Ravens, because it's going to be how you handle yourself after these kind of situations. So hopefully everyone has learned from their mistakes this offseason. Hopefully this doesn't happen again. But let me play devil's advocate here a little bit. You and I have discussed before how these guys are grown men. You know, they need to be they need to do what they're supposed to do. They can't have, like, you know, somebody looking over their shoulder saying that's not a good idea. Because a lot of people were saying after Ray Lewis left, oh, well, there's not a leader anymore. That's why these people are getting into trouble, which he's not there, you know, telling people don't do that, don't do this, you know, because they're grown guys. They know the difference between right and wrong, or at least they should. But let me just play devil's advocate here. Is John Harbaugh losing this locker room, or is Joe Flacco not the leader that Ray Lewis might have been? Because with these five arrests, are they going to do anything in the locker room to change what's been going on? Is John Harbaugh going to take away maybe some of that freedom that these guys have by, you know, putting in a curfew or something like that before games? Like, do you think that even though these guys are grown dudes and they're making lots of money, do you think that Harbaugh isn't getting to them the way that he may have back in the past?
We're going to really have fun here. I'm going to really disagree. No. John Harbaugh has not lost grip. I mean, we're all tied to opinions. It's what Grace makes a great show, but I just think it's total nonsense. I mean, one player leaving isn't going to change the character of the team. It's just about... you're right, like you said, they're all grown men. They just need to make good decisions. What it comes down to, it's, you're right, it's about coaching, but you can only do so much. You're right, they can't be babysat. They can't be, you know, oh, I got to call the coach. Is this a good decision? Just like parents, it's the same thing. You know, you're not going to have your mom and dad there by your side all the time. You need to learn on your own, and then they'll be there just like your life coach. When you screw up, they're going to be there and support you and go, okay, Josh, what can we do to make it better? It's all about making it better. And that's how I look at Harbaugh and the coaching staff, and whether it's Bisciotti from the ownership to Dick Cass and the president, and Eric DeCosta and Ozzie Newsome and so on, all in the front office, and OJ Bergantz. You know, these guys are there to help these guys. And I could guarantee if we had John Harbaugh on the show or OJ Bergantz on the show, Ozzie on the show, and we are interviewing them and then say, hey, is your guys have an open door policy at the offices? I'm sure they would say, heck yeah, guys. They probably just come on in. I mean, I remember the team meeting they had that one time, the closed door session. It just, and it brings me back up about the past, about the whole Brian Billick thing, how the team lost grip and they were carrying on. And I mean, you can go on and on and on, but really, it's not only our team. I mean, how many times have other teams? This is what brings me to the hypocrite stage. You know, you hear the talking, but it's like, but here's the thing. We've had five arrests this offseason. The worst thing was slapping your fiance around. They're not Patriot fans saying anything because your tight end murdered somebody. They're not Pittsburgh Steelers fans saying anything because your quarterback was found, whether he was guilty or not, but he was suspended. Apparently he raped somebody, or, you know, whatever happened. I don't even know. That whole thing's a mess. You know, they're saying Eagles fans saying anything because Mike Vick got guilty for 2 years for dogfighting. Giants fans for Burris holding a gun in his pocket and shooting himself in the leg. So there's really an ongoing thing there. So it's not just us, so we can rest easy because everybody's pointing the finger at the Baltimore Ravens this offseason, but you can flip the coin and go, hey, you know, Aaron Hernandez is facing, you know, manslaughter, you know, first degree murder, whatever charges, and that's a lot worse. So honestly, I count my blessings that, thank God, the worst thing that Ray Rice did was, you know, slap around a bit. I don't condone it at all, 100%. I'm not supporting that, but hey, you got to look at it in a light way. At least it's not as serious as the other teams I mentioned, you know, and the other players, because that's more serious than anything. So you just, you know, a couple misdemeanors here and there, and let's just get the act together and play football. That's what I look at.
Yeah, I'm intrigued of what Harbaugh and the rest of the Ravens will do from here on out. Just because you look at, like, maybe if it affects, you know, the way that they're playing on the field, I'm sure they're going to talk to Jimmy Smith, or he's going to talk to them and say, you know, this is what happened, this, that, whatever. And they'll say, you know, you got to clean up and you got to do this, you got to do that. And I'm sure that, you know, they'll at least talk about it or whatever. But look at, like, what Harbaugh did with Bryant McKinney last season. You know, he was a guy that was given multiple chances. I mean, he sat out most of the Super Bowl season. Until the postseason really started, because of coming in late and coming in overweight, and then he comes into the postseason, does really well, and they re-sign him for a year, kind of give him another shot, and then he gets in trouble, you know, with the party bus, and, you know, Jacoby Jones gets hit in the head with a bottle at his party and everything, and they kind of shipped him out because they gave him a couple chances, and then he still didn't clean up after that. So,
right,
if these five guys, they got in trouble, they learn from their mistakes, they clean up, and they kind of go back to the straight and narrow. Hopefully Harbaugh and the rest of the Ravens, you know, not just the players, but the whole team, but the staff as well, help these guys get back to the straight and narrow, and they actually do, you know, fix these problems. Hopefully that'll be the end of all of these arrests that the Ravens have been going through this offseason. So
absolutely.
Really, it just needs to become better decision making with a little bit more guidance, I guess, from the Ravens organization. So We'll see what happens in the next couple days, but hopefully the crazy times that the Ravens have had this offseason are all over, and that these guys are starting fresh. So
starting fresh. With that said, there's training camp, what, like next week, right?
That's right. Finally. Yeah. Training camp. And hey, this is pretty crazy. We're recording this during the All-Star game for the MLB, and usually in Baltimore at this point everyone's looking forward to training camp, but the Orioles are doing pretty well themselves.
Yeah. Honorable mention. Oh yeah.
Yeah, so that's all fine and good, but let's talk about training camp. Josh, first question I want to ask you is, what are you looking for in this training camp next week? All the guys are coming back. They're going to start gelling with new players. They're going to get back to the rise and grind part of the year, but what are you hoping the Ravens really focus on next week?
I'm really hoping they focus on going undefeated in the preseason, and I'm just kidding. No, I really hope they get down to the nuts and bolts of the offense. That's the big focal point right now. Two things: for rebuilding the offense, because obviously we know all the changes that happened, and revamping the defense. There's two interesting stories in the past couple weeks on the Ravens website about each side of the football. One being the defense. Can they get back to a top 10 defense? A lot of players are saying, yeah, I've heard Terrell Suggs is in shape. I've heard Dumervil now, because remember last year he came in during the offseason and really didn't have a chance to get acclimated to anything. Now he's got one full year, and he understands what's going on in Dean Pease's system. I heard Haloti Ngata himself is fully healthy, and he's back in shape. And, you know, with the new additions and Webb getting healthy. And in the offensive side of football, we know starting at the top offensive coordinator, Gary Kubiak, Dennis Pitta's finally back from injury. They signed Owen Daniels. Can't forget about the great addition of Steve Smith. Now you got Marlon Brown, Torrey Smith, Jacoby Jones is back. You know, this is going to be a good offense, and if whether the other guys can contribute, you're looking for some of the rookies to step up. So we're looking good, and I've already heard, don't know about the league suspension as of yet. I'm expecting a 4-game suspension, but I did hear even Joe Flacco said Ray Rice is in shape and explosive, and you got to hope on the other side of the – on the running backs is Bernard Pierce. If his shoulder heals fully and he can get in there and wreck it up in full contact, I'm excited to see this actually gel. And I'm just looking for that cohesiveness. Can they be on the same page? You know, the route's going to be run. I mean, it's just like the first day of work for after a while or school. You know, you're going to be a little rusty. The routes aren't going to be that crisp. We got to be patient. But I think as we see progressing during the preseason, I think by week two or three in the preseason, we'll really see that. And we're not going to really see the lid open off the offense until week one against Cincinnati Bengals starting the season. But I think I expect great things from this team. And I think this is a team that's going to be underrated. Most people are not even picking on them to make the playoffs, which is absurd. I'm already saying 11-5 season. Winning division again this year. So I think that we're going to get back to form, get back to the playoffs for the sixth time in the last 7 years, and it's really proud to say that. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is going to be a brand new team this year, and I'm very intrigued on how everyone is going to work together. Joe Flacco and the offense. I mean, just look at all the targets he said. Like, you just brought him up. I mean, you got Dennis Pitta, who got hurt during training camp last year. Here he is coming in and finally going to be, you know, a leader in this locker room and working so well with Joe. So, I mean, that's right there. But you got new tools like Steve Smith, which I don't know if you've seen that picture floating around, but the picture of him training and he's got, like, that crazy-looking Bane mask on.
Oh, yeah, that thing was awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's definitely taking this serious. And I love the fact that it kind of seems as if he's got something to prove. And that's if you want to prove something, you know, Baltimore's a good place to do it, because, you know, like you said, a lot of people count against you. And Baltimore as a city and as a team loves to prove people wrong. So he's going to fit in.
Of course we do.
Yeah, he's going to fit in great here. And you got Torrey Smith and Jacoby Jones and my favorite Marlon Brown. So very excited to see how these guys all gel together, how Steve Smith is going to fit in with this offense. That's what's really good. Be under a microscope for the first couple games, especially in training camp, is just what's going to happen there, because he's already kind of butt heads with Lardarius Webb, but of course they've patched things up before training camp. And then the defense. I don't know if you saw it, but on Instagram, Chris Canty kind of put out a video of him training before training camp, getting his hands ready. And Chris Canty, I mean, he looks good even on the defensive side. So I'm very excited to see what he's going to bring. Of course, we did have guys like, you know, Art Jones kind of leave town, which I was really hoping he'd stay. But, of course, he's got a big payday in Indianapolis. But like you said, Dumervil is healthy and is looking good. Terrell Suggs is in terrific shape. Chris Canty, I mean, his hands are going crazy. And Haloti Ngata, I really think Haloti Ngata is going to be a focal point in this defense. They might be trying to build around that guy now that he is fully healthy and he's going to be in beast mode like he's been in the past.
Yeah, man, I'm just ready to see it tearing up. And even on the not only the veterans but the rookies, I'm expecting great things from C.J. Mosley. I've heard a lot of great things in the mini camps and the OTAs. And again, it's just early on, but I've heard that he's in shape. He's ready to rock and roll. He could start. He was playing with the first team defense. I really can't wait to see what Daryl Smith can bring. I just really can't wait to see what these guys can do, and that's what it's about. I know everybody writes off the preseason and they don't go to the games, but I tell you what, I really can't wait to Thursday night game against the 49ers and we get down to it and we get to see these guys, because my eyes are going to be fixed on the middle and watching 57, no longer 52, but I'm watching 57. So I really can't wait to see our first round draft pick do his thing out there and hopefully be the next leader, great leader of the defense. Can't wait to see Matt Elam, big hitting safety. I really can't wait to see how he's coming to form again for great things again this offseason. So let's see what the young man can do for us again back there. Like I said, I'm beating a dead horse, but I'm just excited to see what these guys can do, what roles the rookies can play, and see where they fit in and see if they can make the 53-man roster when it's all said and done, and give us a good run for us in 2014. And given that, I really can't wait to see him up close and personal. I know one of the first open practices is in 2 weeks or less than 2 weeks at the stadium on the 28th. So it's just great to see that a week and a, like less than 2 weeks, week and a half, I'll be at the stadium and with a bunch of fans and get to watch these guys practice, and we'll get right to it, man. I'm excited. It's here. We've been talking about it for all summer, but we're about to have our first official Purple Friday probably next weekend, believe it or not. So I'm stoked, bud.
I'm very, very excited. Before we head out last little bit, we should probably touch on what's your thoughts on the NFL switching out goalposts for every stadium due to Justin Tucker in that infamous game against the Patriots from a season or two ago.
I laughed when I first saw that because, of course, it has to be New England pointing it out. But again, I respect them. I know Bill Belichick's whole background and what he means to not only Argos, you know, going forward, but you know, for football in general, he's a great ball coach. Nothing to take away from them. It's just really funny to see because I remember at that game they were pointing up at the goalposts and they were looking at that. So it's really interesting to see that rule being implemented after that incident. But I think it's an okay rule. I'm really not really too sure how I feel about it until I see it happening in the games. And I have to look at the measurements. I know I saw the story, but I don't know how hard they raised it unless you know the measurements. I don't know how high they raised it above. But I think it would help. It's just like no different than the foul pole being as big as it is in baseball. You know, you want to – I mean, you can't – you only make the foul poles. Are we going to do make the foul pole – stretch, you know, like the Empire State Building? No, you're not making these goalposts the same way. You don't want them stretched to the third deck in the stadium, but you just kind of want to get a gauge on. I think it just helps in general. So it just takes that, you know, iffy human element, like did he make it, and then going to replays, because hey, if it was high enough, thank God it wasn't high enough that it hit the cross, you know, the upright and fell out, and it would have been no good. So I think it would be okay, but it's just hard to say at this stage. Let's see it implemented and see if it works out.
Yeah, well, the goalposts there—they're going up 5 feet taller.
5 feet taller, okay.
5 feet taller, yeah, and
just say putting another me on top of there. It's not bad.
So I want to.
Justin's got this.
Yeah, that's a big thing I want to see happen in the next season. I want to see Justin Tucker go even higher than that and make him install 10 feet taller, 12 feet taller.
That'd be fun. Yeah, they just go high above the rule and then have to keep doing it. What are they going to do?
Yeah, exactly. So he's got a big contract year coming up. So we'll see how he does this year as well. Justin Tucker's always a fun guy, especially for those open practices, because as the team is kind of winding down, they just kind of send Justin Tucker out of there and see how many field goals he can hit and from how far away. So that's going to be pretty exciting. But I think that's pretty much it for the show. Is there anything that we missed?
Not a chance, sir.
Alrighty, well, if you want to chat Baltimore Ravens football with Josh or I, we are both available on Twitter. So make sure you follow us and tweet to us. You can follow me at Brando Cash and Josh. Where can people follow you at?
They can all follow me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. So if you want information about The Call and you're on Facebook, go to facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Get information about whenever a new show comes out. And also go to BrandoCash.com. That is our central hub for all things Brando Cash Entertainment, from podcasts, videos, and photography. So make sure you go check that website out as well. We give you this show completely for free. All we ask is that you tell a friend about it. Keep us going on social media. Let people know you're a Baltimore Ravens fan. You listen to The Call, and they should too. So be social and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and, hey, any dating websites as well, OkCupid or whatever. Let people know you're a Ravens fan and that you listen to podcasts like The Call.
Just share The Call. Listen to them. Please, guys.
Exactly. That's right. And if you have an Android or iPhone, let people know as well. They can listen completely for free on the podcast app on iPhones or on Stitcher On Demand Radio. That's available on Android devices as well. So that's pretty much it for The Call this week. We're getting so close to training camp. So, Josh, get us ready, man. Tell us what we got to do for training camp.
Tell us what we got to do for training camp. We just have to get pumped up, which is very easy being us Ravens fans, but we're really pumped up. We're ready for football season, aren't we? I know the Orioles are in first place. It's going to be 2012 all over again. I can feel this. I can just feel it in the air. It's going to be two of the great teams of our city making a run at it. I can just feel the buzz already starting. We're just getting pumped up. It's right there, guys. But the training camp is about to start. Let's put on those shoulder pads and helmets. We're going to start hitting it. And preseason is less than about, I would say, 3 weeks, close to 3 weeks away. So we're going to get excited about that. We're going to welcome the 49ers in town. We can't wait to get it started. We are right on the horizon, but I can't wait to see how the training camp battles turn out. And I know you're excited. So let's, with me, let's Baltimore Ravens fly high in the training.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman, voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.